Screen Directors Guild Assignment, Production, The Exile, Director, Max Ophuls, Star, Douglas Fairbanks, Jr.
The story begins on a stormy night in the year of our Lord, 1660. Night. A storm with thunder and lightning. A slashing downpour of rain and a horseman. A horseman fleeing across Holland in the middle of the 17th century. The fate, not only of a nation is riding tonight, but of a faith, of a way of life, riding the whole fugitive night into the morning. In the bright morning, the rider of the fleeing horse is at his ease, pretending to sleep on the bank of a Dutch canal, pretending to sleep because a mounted man in a black coat with ascetic, suspicious eyes is riding slowly toward him, stops without dismounting.
You, peasant.
Hmm? Eh? Oh, good morning.
Greetings and God's grace.
Greetings.
Have you seen aught of a man about 2 yards high with black hair and impudent air and a...
Oh, excuse me, but I'm a stranger. Far from home, enjoying the hospitality of these Netherlands.
English?
Indeed.
Far from home, for what reason?
My health.
God heal you, sir. Have you seen aught of the fugitive English king, Charles Stuart?
What? That scoundrel among men? That lazy, self-indulgent wastrel of a... Imagine England in the hands of a man like that.
Not if Cromwell's men discover him. You have not seen him?
Is he about?
We found his horse wandering, exhausted in the wood.
Knave, tyrant, and tormentor of dumb beasts? Well, speed you on your search. May you and Charles II come face to face one day not far off.
We shall. Farewell. Farewell, health and long life.
My thanks, countrymen, my thanks. They must be on the move, but where? Where?
You there on the bank.
Eh? Oh, ahoy, canal boat.
Can you help me with this barge? I can't keep it in midstream. I'll run aground.
Keep it headed under the bridge. I'll drop aboard from the bridge.
But hurry, hurry.
Plenty of time now, lass. Plenty of time now. Now, try to keep the barge headed straight under the bridge so I'll have the whole length to jump for rather than the beam.
I'll try.
All right. Ready? Now, so, quick, hand me the pole.
Here.
Good.
Hold it against your shoulder.
Oh, I see.
And push.
I have it now.
Oh, there. Good. Oh, that's much better.
We look all right now, don't we?
I'm so grateful to you. Jan would have been furious if I grounded his barge.
Jan? Who is Jan?
He owns the boat. He lets me use it if I haul his cargo.
Is he your master?
My cousin.
Healthy?
Very.
Muscular?
A huge man.
And he lets you do his heavy work?
He owns the farm next to mine, and he owns the debts on my farm and my inn. 3,000 guilders I owe Jan.
You have a farm and an inn?
Ever since my father died.
Tell me, this farm and inn of yours, is it close?
Not yet. I must anchor another night.
Good.
Why?
I like great distances just now. And I find leisurely travel sometimes soothing. And you need help with this barge and swollen waters.
Yes.
I'm at your service. I come from a seafaring nation. Consider me your crew. How sweet the moonlight sleeps upon that bank. Here will we sit and let the sounds of music creep in our ears.
Music? I hear none.
Soft stillness in the night becomes the touches of sweet harmony.
How pretty. What is it?
William Shakespeare. A poet who had his day, 50 years ago. Soon forgotten, but while he sang right beautifully.
Oh. Charles?
Hmm?
I was just trying the name.
Try it again.
Charles.
Again.
Was not your English king named Charles?
Scottish king. Charles Stuart in a Scot.
They say he was a most scandalous man.
A little rakish at times, but not too bad.
They say it's dangerous for an Englishman to side with their king.
A little inconvenient at times, yes. And that is why I wonder, Mistress Katie, If I could hide with you for a while.
How?
I could work on your farm and at the inn. I should ask nothing in return but shelter and board, and who knows, I might be able to help pay off your debt to what's his name?
Jan.
Tell me, how do you say, could you use an extra man in Dutch?
Kunt u een extra man gebruiken?
Could you an extra man
gebruiken?
Could you?
Yes.
Good. Good.
How sweet the moonlight sleeps upon that bank. That's very pretty.
Lovely.
Are you sure he will soon forgotten this Wilhelm Shakespeare if he says such true and lovely things?
For weeks, the exiled king works at Katie's farm and inn willingly, even gladly performing the most menial labor. Only his cavalier friends in Breda had been told of his new hideout. Now, one day again, history rides the Dutch lowlands. Good evening.
Edward. Edward Hyde, old friend.
Don't talk here. I have news from England.
We'll go to my room. Come. Edward, you might have been followed here.
Aye, but the news warrants great risks. Charles, General Monk has declared for us.
What? Albemarle on our side? That is news.
His army crossed the Scottish border and marches against Cromwell. England is split into more factions than ever, and General Monk thinks the country would rally to your side if you return now.
Return? Now?
At once, Your Majesty.
I'm sorry, Edward. But no.
But with Monk, Lord Albemarle, on our side now, how can we fail?
I said no, Edward. No.
But men are hungry. They yearn for home and family.
I know.
10 long years of exile, Your Majesty.
I know that too, bitterly enough.
Is this a time to show hesitation, fear, doubt?
Fear? Who speaks of fear? Great heaven, man, for 2 years after Cromwell killed my father, the king, I fought and met defeat. Not with my own blood, but with the blood of men who trusted in me. And all because our hopes were false. False! I was told the three kingdoms would rise behind me to a man until I faced the enemy. And I was left alone with a handful of brave men, beaten beforehand and doomed in advance by false hopes. False hopes, false starts, false promises. And always the blood of freemen uselessly forfeit. I'll go home, Edward, when I'm freely called by all my countrymen. Not before.
The men are ready now. They call you leader, king.
King? What good's a king who's only king to some?
Yes, so be it, sire. There is other news, and not quite so favorable. Ingram is in Holland.
Ingram? Ingram here? That is evil news.
So Thurlow Cromwell's chief spy were not enough. There is one man in Christendom I fear above another. That man is the executioner Ingram.
Describe the man to me so I'll know him if we meet.
Think of the face and habit of death. That is Ingram. His skin is parched and yellow like a dead man's. His lips are a straight white gash across his face, and his eyes burn with a light like grave worms in their bony sockets.
A concentrated man.
A fanatic.
A brilliant swordsman.
And he fears nothing.
Naturally. What has death himself to fear?
Charles, if you won't return to England, then flee.
Flee, Ingram? I think not, Edward.
Otherwise, the cause is lost, Your Majesty.
Flee where? Holland is overrun with Cromwell's spies and swordsmen. Besides...
Charles, where are you? Charles?
Besides, I like it here.
Oh, I see.
Charles?
I like it very much. Ingram, eh? 2 weeks more.
Hold it now, sir.
Two weeks of peace and gradual fading apprehension. 2 weeks more of idyllic pastoral existence. And one afternoon, Charles is fishing in the canal. For if a cat may look at a king, then a king may look at a catfish. Unheard by him, a figure dressed in tarnished regal clothing moves up behind him, leading a moth-eaten horse.
Are you a Hollander, Dutchman?
What? Good day, sir.
I am told there is an inn hereabouts.
An excellent inn, my lord. I know, for I work there.
You? But you're English.
True.
What is your capacity at the inn?
Well, I've been promoted to overseer.
Excellent. A fellow exile and an overseer in a strange land. Tell me, what costs bed and board to a fellow countryman of yours, mind you?
2 guilders a night.
2 guilders. Suppose I tell you, in all confidence, that when I have spent the night at your inn, you may charge the next guest 20 guilders without protest, for you may tell him honestly, a king slept in this inn. Hey?
King? What king?
Look at me. Though these English garments be the worse for hardship, and though my lineaments be weathered and war-beaten, say if you can, but you do not recognize your king, Englishman.
Not Charles Stuart.
The wandering exile Stuart. Yes?
Oh, sire.
Well, you may rise. And lead me to your inn. You and your employer shall be rewarded handsomely someday. Oh.
Charles, did you finally get His Majesty, our guest, to sleep?
Finally.
He's very indiscreet for a fugitive, Charles.
He's a drunken clown.
Letting all those strangers in the taproom know who he is, but swearing us to secrecy.
I tell you, he's a beerhead fool who'll bring Cromwell's roundheads down on us looking for him.
Charles, he worries me.
He worries me.
He admires you.
Splendid.
He told me he wants you with him when he invades England again.
Oh, and when may this be?
He said soon.
Hmm.
It's all so stupid and wasteful. There are far better things to do than quarrel over politics and kings and kingdoms and all that sort of rubbish.
We disagree there, Katie. England is a nation of 7 million people who depend on their leaders. We owe them some sort of debt of...
Debt? Nonsense. You men will always find some excuse to start fighting and to be very proper about it. Debt, indeed. Now, I have a debt, a real one, that you can count on that means something to plain people. 3,000 guilders.
I know.
I gave you a job and shelter when you wanted it, and now you plan to leave me for that beerhead.
My king calls me, Katie. My duty lies plain before me.
You will desert me.
I will follow my call.
Then I will not need your services any longer.
I'm dismissed?
Yes.
Now?
I will not spend my time and my money teaching you farming and management of an inn and see it all go to waste over politics. It's best you leave before...
Before what?
Before I come to depend on you too much.
I understand. I'll leave in the morning. Good night, Mr. Scorby.
Charles. Come in.
Mrs. Katie?
I dismissed you.
I? Oh, no, that was the fellow whom I just met in the courtyard. Told me you'd let him go because he dabbled in politics. Now, I've worked about farms and inns a bit, and I despise politics lately. Could you... use an extra man around here, Katie. I, I forget how I said it before. Ingram.
Come in, please.
The face in the habit of death, and that is Ingram. Skin like dead man's. His mouth a straight white gash across his face, and eyes that...
Come in, please. Please. Do you work at this inn?
Yes, I work here.
English?
Yes.
I've seen you before.
It may be.
Tell me plainly, of which party are you?
Party?
The parliamentary party.
You mean the roundheads?
Do you call them so?
Candidly, sir, if I ever see my home again, I shall belong to no party. I have recently renounced politics.
Then perhaps I can trust a man without any convictions.
I suppose that depends on the trust.
I am looking for a man whose face I have not seen in many years. Rumor places him hereabout. His name is Charles Stuart.
The king?
If you like, yes. The king.
What? Who takes the name of his sovereign, Charles II of England?
The fool, the pompous idiot.
And what is this? A despised roundhead in my royal presence?
Bare your head. Bare your head, I say.
The gentleman requests you to remove your hat.
I remove my hat only in the presence of God and in the presence of death.
From the look of things, the second condition seems very near at hand. Sire, this gentleman here is looking for an uncrowned king. The gentleman's name is Ingram.
Your servant, sire.
I'm tired. I'll return to my room.
Wait.
I'm tired.
You shall sleep. Soundly, sire. Soundly.
Oh, no, no, no.
Draw your sword.
No, no. I'm not really the king. I'm not the king. I'm an actor. Dick Pinner. Pinner's my name.
Draw your sword, I tell you.
I'm just an actor. I'm a poor actor out of work. Believe me.
Enough, Ingram. The jest is over.
What jest?
Can't you tell a knave from a king? Look at me, Ingram. Spare this craven clown, clowning for his keep. And look at me. Surely you know a steward when you see one. You helped Cromwell send one to his death. Look at me.
To be sure. Steward. To be sure.
Come on, slide me your sword, quick.
Thanks.
See how it is to deal with an armed steward for a change.
Charles Stuart, I charge you to surrender in the name of Parliament and the Lord Protector. My horsemen are all around the inn. You are trapped, Stuart.
In my service at this inn, I learned a famous recipe for rabbit pie. It goes like this. First, catch the rabbit. And keep a firm grip on your sword. Remember it, Ingram. Long live the king.
Colonel Ingram, after him, men, dead or alive.
Charles.
Kitty, the king betrayed himself to the roundheads. Don't think of me, but save yourself.
The windmill. Hide in the windmill. I'll meet you there.
No, Kitty, no.
They're coming. Go through the window.
Goodbye, Kitty. God keep you and love you.
God keep you and love you.
Wait here, Robbins.
Who are you? What is the meaning of this?
You are the mistress of this inn.
What if I am?
Where is he?
Who?
The man who works here.
If you mean Charles, my retainer.
Where is he?
What right have you to invade a Dutch house and hound a hard-working man to death because he's loyal to his king?
Don't play the fool with me. He is the king.
Charles?
It's plain you're innocent in that matter. But mind you, don't shield the man if you would remain innocent in the matter.
What now, Colonel Ingram?
Watch her. It's plain from her manner that the king's more than handyman to her. She'll lead us to him. Watch her.
Katie, you shouldn't have come.
I had to.
You'll not omit to search this windmill.
Charles, that man with a face like a skull, he told me who you are.
Then let me tell you in a few moments what I wanted to spend my life telling you. I love you, Katie. Above all things, deeply and gratefully.
Gratefully? Why?
Because in your love I've found a few precious moments of shelter. I've learned from you another life than fear and flight and battlefields and parliaments. If I should die, remember that I loved you. Not as Charles II of England, doubtful monarch of a restless realm, but Charles, master of his own soul.
Surround the windmill! Robbins! Guard the door! I'll fight this steward single-handed.
Ingram's coming in alone.
God be with you, Charles.
Stay hidden behind those sacks.
Charles Stuart! Stuart! How will you die? I give you this chance to face me alone, for I would relish killing you with my own blade. Stuart!
I am here. Defend yourself, killer.
Rejoice, England! Thy deliverance is at hand.
Well spoken, sir. You write your own epitaph.
We'll finish this alone. You and I.
You'll die for that penalty.
I'll live for my beliefs.
And I for mine.
What, Inquisitor? What?
You give ground to a steward? Back, I say. Back!
I'm a bit rusty at the game as yet. Ah!
Rust, Ingram, is the color of old blood. Your crimes were upon you, killer. Back, killer, back. Up the stairs. Up.
Astoners! Rutty! Back! Back, I say. Up! Ungodly steward!
Why? Because I think God made men free.
Die!
Another time, Ingram. Not just now.
Die! You must die if England is to live.
Matter. England will live no matter what happens to either of us. On guard, killer.
I just feel that England will be happier if you're the one who dies.
Charles.
It's over, Katie. I live.
Charles, listen, outside.
Trouble, England, surely. Roundheads do not make trouble for other roundheads. It may be that...
Charles. Charles, your majesty.
Robert, Robert, my boy.
Are you all right?
Untouched. This Ingram's skill was not what you led me to believe.
Thank God you're safe. A new free parliament has, on behalf of all the people and all beliefs, asked you to return to England as their king.
They accept my terms. Religious freedom for all, and all the rest.
Everything.
Leave me alone, Robert. With Katie here.
Your majesty.
Katie?
I know, Charles.
What shall I do?
What your heart tells you, your majesty.
Charles.
Your majesty. You are my Charles. But you are their king. And they are so many, and I am only one.
But if that one is all?
Your people are hurt. There are many wounds for you to tend.
But what will happen to you?
Oh, I will have many things to do. I'm going to plant more tulips in the west field bordering the road, and my inn will be famous now, and I shall pay my debts.
Katie.
And my memories will be my greatest fortune.
And mine. And all these memories I will put like rose leaves in a box. And I shall love you always. Beyond measure. beyond proof, beyond battle and the folly of nations, beyond life, where we shall meet again.
England is at the door.
Coming, Edward. Goodbye, Kate. One kiss.
To last forever.
Coming. Coming.
Gentlemen, the king.
And I shall love you always, beyond measure, beyond proof, beyond battle and the folly of nations, beyond life, where we shall meet again.